Welcome to From the Heart with me, Dawn Lister. Today's guest is me. I guess we could call it a kind of reintroduction, a bit of a reflection on what brought me to recording a podcast in the first place, why I'm carrying on without my co-host Daniel, and some of the stuff I've learned along the way, some thoughts about the world we're living in right now, and how, despite the fact, for the most part, I don't align with a lot of the way our world works, I still have to live in it. We all do. And let's acknowledge that that is tough. As I began planning for solo season 4 and was considering the kind of content I wanted to create, I found myself in a place of deep reflection. Not just about who I wanted to talk to, but also what kind of conversations I wanted to have, needed to have right now. Alongside which had been a growing need for me to share a little bit more about how a Scottish lass from a council estate in the rougher part of Edinburgh ended up making a home for herself in the worlds of yoga, therapeutic body work, and why building communities full of kind and creative people is just so important to me. This podcast has allowed me to really give space to my voice, a voice that for the first 20 or so years of my life was truly silenced, and to engage in incredible conversations that are deep, meaningful, compassionate, and life-enhancing. So today's episode is just that, a bit of a reintroduction so that you, this community, get to understand a little bit more about where I came from and where the podcast is going. And decide for yourself whether you want to come along for the ride. If you do, wonderful. And in that case, I'd like to hear more from you. Perhaps you could share what kind of conversations you enjoy listening to, people you might like me to re-interview, new folks we could invite on, topics you'd like covered. Tell me what you found helpful, interesting, insightful. Share some of your stories with me. This all helps me to shape the podcast as we go forwards. And of course, if after listening today, this isn't for you, then I wish you well on your journey and thank you for being with us so far. If you've already listened to the previous bonus episode with Daniel, my co-host on seasons 1 to 3, you will know he's decided to forge a new path, taking him down the route of training as a talking therapist. And knowing Daniel as I do, I am genuinely delighted for him and his future clients. We need more honest, open, compassionate people from diverse backgrounds holding space. So good luck, Daniel, on your fork in the road. This fork meant for me an opportunity to change direction in lots of different ways, opening the door to new opportunities and adventures, and of course, many challenges. The pandemic hitting meant we'd all had to shift, adapt, and look at new ways to be in the world. And Daniel's new direction had had a further impact on me. How could it not? After he had made his decision, I had to take some time to consider what this meant for me personally, for our podcast, and the yoga studio we had created together. Post-pandemic, things had radically changed. And the studio we'd so lovingly nurtured, a hub of kindness and therapeutic practice, which had blossomed into a genuinely friendly and supportive community, had had to make some urgent changes, beginning with relocating from our beautiful purpose-built venue. Across the world, more and more people are now practicing online as a way of accessing their practice at a time suitable for them. This, combined with the insane increase in the price of living, we'd already made the decision to merge with my sister company, the Dawn Lister Therapy Centre, a tranquil and nurturing space in the very heart of our town. Me and my two business partners, Ellie and Marta, head up a team of wonderful therapists who do the most incredible job, taking care of our community using our shared skills of psychological, somatic, and bodywork therapies. So whilst it was a blow to move, it also felt like coming home. After all, what better place for therapeutic yoga than within a therapy centre? And that change, whilst exhausting and stressful and financially truly soul-destroying, it felt like coming home. There was a fork that none of us could have predicted. When we opened in 2017, we had expanded from a successful but much smaller venue. Due to the insane need for more therapeutic yoga, we were instantly successful, and we enjoyed working with a team of like-minded yogis and yoginis who wanted to offer kind, authentic practice. Little did we know that within a few years, the world would turn everything we'd worked for on its head. And we were not alone in our suffering, as we watched studio after studio begin to close. People we cared deeply for having to let go of their long-held dreams and amazing communities. Across the world, we began to see a huge shift to online life. And for us, this was not a world we felt comfortable in. Not that there's anything wrong with it. We both have done and continue to work online. But our community was here, it's tangible. And we wanted to continue to offer safe therapeutic practice that felt considered. I only cried twice in that whole situation. To be honest, I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I cried once when I told my husband, who'd been one of our main investors in the venture, that again, and then again, when our kind landlord told us that our beautiful studio was going to become a sunbed shop. Partly, I didn't cry, as my life's motto has been for many years, hold it with an open hand. If it's not meant to be, let it go. So when things change, I've learned to let them, as holding on in the past has only led me to pain and suffering, mine and other people's. In truth, the spirit of change can be a blessing in disguise, a fork in the road you didn't know you wanted or needed. And it's the vulnerable, scared and unhealed parts of ourselves that want things to stay the same. After all, sticking with what is familiar, feels safe, even if that's a lie that we've been fed by society determined to keep you trapped and plodding on, creating more wealth and abundance for the people at the top of the financial food chain who have zero intention of setting you free. The spirit of change invites us to take responsibility for our own path. It invites us to step up and become an active participant in each step we take, versus just surfing along, hoping that it will all work out for the best. The spirit of change invites us to commit to walking our path with all its twists and turns, with bravery, curiosity, and the spirit of adventure. That brave and curious spirit asks us not to seek out comfort. After all, isn't it true that the comfort zone is where dreams go to die? It will lead us again and again back to the fork in the road, often at just the right time, pointing us back onto our path. We have to just get still enough to listen, to hear with our hearts as well as our minds, both parts working in tandem, allowing us to land safely and gently just where we need to be. I've time and again had to be prepared to take that route onto the path I'd veered off so that I could once again feel alive, connected, and an active participant in my life, versus feeling as if I was being led blindfold down a road I'd never chosen to walk, a road which didn't serve me and was so alien to me, I had to numb myself just to walk forwards. I have at times failed to take my own advice and consider why I'd taken a certain path before I trek off down it. So a little bit of wisdom from an old hiker on the path of life. As you go through life and opportunities arise, take a moment to stop and ask yourself, who does this serve? If I walk this path, take this journey, make that choice, stay put, change direction, take that risk, who benefits? Who and what am I feeding? Is this for my good, my growth, my joy? Or is it to feed the needs of someone else, a partner, a family member, an employer, society, the big corporates, to increase the number of clicks and likes on my social media? You see, wealth in our world is too often measured in pound signs. And it's ridiculous to say that money isn't important, because we need it to survive, to eat, to provide shelter, to put clothes on our back, and the numbers in the bank account can't be the whole story. When we only focus on the numbers, we lack that balance. For me, wealth also has to be measured in terms of your health, your happiness, the quality of your friendships, the wisdom you've gleaned, sunsets taking in, laughter, creativity, the experiences you have. In today's world, we take holidays to recharge our batteries, just so we can jump back on that escalator to nowhere, feeding the machine, which has no interest in nourishing you and filling you up with love, new experiences and connections. The machine that we are also hooked up on mostly feeds someone other than us. The people, big corporates and governments that are more interested in keeping you unconscious and struggling to meet your basic needs, needs like food and shelter. Today in the UK, the use of food bags is now becoming the norm, even for some professional people, people like teachers, nurses, office workers. The spoils of our labour are feeding a society that is sick and disconnected from what I consider to be important. And that's quality of life and relationship, a sense of purpose, an ability to feel kind, to have energy to collaborate, to heal. Our society is led by those with an incredible wealth that is determined instead to keep us asleep, trapped and afraid to try anything different. Years ago, when I first began to realize that the majority of the structures that run the systems we are required to live well in, such as healthcare, housing, and care of the environment, were not on my side. So I began to ask myself this question: if I take that step, who benefits? And I soon came to realize that the motivation for anything I was going to put my energy behind had to be of benefit to all of me, not just my financial well-being, but also my mind, my body, and my spirit. It had to bring some benefit to my family and aid in helping me build and support my community. After all, we're more than just individuals. We need each other on so many levels. I couldn't be seduced by the idea of financial wealth and or fame. If opportunities arose, and they did, I would more often find myself reflecting and then say no, thank you, as frankly, the payoff in terms of my mental and physical health could potentially have been devastating. In essence, my path has been one of balance. I need money, we all do, but I also need to line my inner wealth account. To be clear, I've got no interest in checking out, not being part of this incredible world we share. I love our world, our environment, our artists, our writers, scientists, teachers, thinkers, actors, healers. I love the people who cook us incredible food and grow delicious grape that makes tasty wine. I love my regular trip to the coffee shop where I stop and chat with the barista and the other folk who hang out there. I'm grateful for the community workers who care for the sick, clean our streets, and look after us. Without each of you, life would be darker, lonelier, and smellier. Focusing on our quality of life and helping to build human connection isn't going to make our government and the corporations who run the world more wealth and power. It will instead actively take people's energies away from overworking, debt cycling, numbing up system that they've perfected. But let's pause and think, who does that serve? It ain't you and it ain't me. And yet here I am asking you to consider taking a fork in the road, fully knowing that our society makes it all but impossible for us to take that fork. After all, we need a home, food in our bellies, money set aside for times of poor health, a retirement plan. We need money for a little holiday, not just to recharge, but also to enrich our lives, to widen our worldview, to connect with people and stories from around the globe. We need time to connect with nature, to taste our food. We need time to daydream. We need time and energy to drop out of survival mode and live in a place of abundance, an abundance of energy. To have the inner reserves to really be there for each other as we walk along this path called life, sometimes together, and sometimes off on a detour. Living a spiritual path doesn't mean you're absent from those needs. In fact, it often means it's harder to make it work, as there's no money in calling out the honest truth. There's no money in waking people up. There's no money in telling you you're enough just as you are. You don't need a huge house, three cars, a perfect body, no lines on your face, a wardrobe that follows the trends of fast fashion. There's no money in living simply, focusing on connection and kindness. And yet slowing down and having time is what so many of us want. Maybe not all of the time, but certainly an opportunity to experience that some of the time. We want time to stop and watch the sunset without worrying about unpaid bills. Time to make food that nourishes us without worrying about how it was produced, how many air miles it accrued, and is it covered in pesticides that are harmful to our body? We want time to spend with friends, listening, laughing, crying, and being there for each other. Time to read a good book that opens your mind and heart. Time to sit and hold the hands of your loved ones. Time to walk through the forest, listening to the sounds of the trees and the birds as they communicate with each other, letting your soul remember that you are part of the wonder of life. You want time to listen to the rain falling without worrying if the rain's a sign that global warming is going to create more havoc in your already challenging life. In my many conversations with people over the past 52 years, nearly everyone wants more time for themselves to be more present in their lives. Time for them, their family and their friends. The problem, however, is that being awake to this corrupt system we live in doesn't mean we can absent ourselves from existing in it. Choosing to live differently will come at a cost, and that is the reality. We have to be aware enough and brave enough to make some simple choices that ensures at best we can follow our own path. I found each time I was brave enough to take the fork, I found some level of contentment, aligning with my tribe and moving closer to my reason for being. Has it been easy? No. Has it always made good financial sense? No. But was it the right choice for my inner wealth account? Hell yes. Making choices that fed my inner wealth account happened daily, at work, at home, on my own, in all the little and big ways I choose to invest in myself. Fear in the past has driven me back to overworking, exhausting myself so I can cover bills and fit into a world that views busy as successful. I've experienced full burnout twice in my life, the last time around 10 or 12 years ago, and it was scary. Not because it meant I wasn't earning, although as a self-employed person that was scary, rather scary because I didn't know who I was when I wasn't at work. I was suddenly aware of how locked up I was in my need for approval and professional success. Being busier than everyone around me just wasn't enough. I just couldn't work out whilst I was on that treadmill. Who was I, or what was I? So coming back to the present for now, moving Anahata to its new home was scary, but also incredible. And for the very first time in my professional life, I finally felt like I was where I needed to be. I felt supported, knowing that the people around me also had the best interests of our clients at heart, and they cared deeply for me and my well-being. I was able to let go a bit, allowing others to pick up the pieces and make some choices and decisions. And I started to feel safe. And a funny thing happens when you feel safe. Your wounds start to weep. When you're not safe, you exist in survival mode, fight, flight, freeze or flop. And that can look like hypervigilance, overachieving, numbing out, disassociating, feeling like you need to have all the answers, being defensive, burning out, putting up with bad behavior instead of holding healthy boundaries. Very quickly, as I settled into our new home, I began to let go of habits and behaviors I put in place to protect myself. I acknowledged I'm not a superheroine, that I was also experiencing some pain and suffering post-pandemic, and it was okay to own it and share it. I didn't have to be perfect or on it and busy all the time. I was allowed to stop for a bit and slow down, have a rest. I was allowed to think and feel without feeling judged. So as I stopped feeling so activated all the time, I began to remember what it was that brought me to this lifestyle in the first place, this yoga, meditation, and therapeutic lifestyle. I'd always been seeking inner peace. I wasn't, and I'm not deluded enough to believe we can live life without pain. Even the Buddha acknowledged that the human condition brings with it pain. Avoiding pain brings us the second dart, which Buddha refers to in his teaching as the dart of suffering. And that second dart, well, that's a choice, one I wanted to avoid making. So life for me was a continual journey of accumulating as much knowledge and skill as possible to avoid suffering. And in many ways, it has worked. Life has been hard. As some of my listeners know, I was raised in a cult, the cult of Jehovah's Witnesses. And as a result of this, myself and three siblings have no contact with our parents. That has its own unique level of pain that comes with it. My life choices as I left the cult meant that having my own family proved challenging. I hadn't witnessed the love that a parent should have for their own children. Everything in our life had been conditional. I was brought up with a very black and white worldview, and it has taken decades to unravel that trauma. So part of the learning was a way of making peace with that, understanding what was happening to me and what had happened to me then. And as I became more aware of my own suffering and found ways to soothe myself, I found I wanted to help others, to help humanity and to end suffering. And in some ways, that was a throwback from the cult and the mission to save the world from Satan that still hung around. And the rescuer in me has needed a lot of healing herself to be able to put down that habit and instead learn to just be alongside people with kindness and acceptance. And I could never have got to that place without the ongoing learning and incredible teachers and therapists I have had the honor to work with. It was a long, old journey working that out. And as my teacher, Ram Dass, would say, suffering is bliss. Without pain, there's no desire or need to change or grow or be honest or make room for that healing. Suffering, pain are, as I've learned, the magical portholes that lead us to truth. We simply have to slow down enough to see them playing out in our lives. If we are numb, busy and overachieving, if we're rescuing or hiding from our pain, we will miss that golden opportunity to find that portal to peace and the life that is meant for you, the life you deserve, balanced, connected and spacious enough to really be alive in it. Here's an exercise I do with my clients from time to time, and actually I do it for myself quite regularly. Maybe you could try it too. The exercise begins with a sentence, and the sentence begins with the words, I want. And then you just list what you want from your heart. Don't let what's possible get in the way. Get out of your head and into your heart. They can go on for pages and pages if needs be. And then when it's done, leave it for a bit. Come back later and ask yourself, where am I in alignment with what my heart wants? And what's in the way of that and why? And how am I participant in not showing up for what I want? And are there ways in which I can better support myself? What is the benefit to you for not moving towards these desires, wishes, and nurturing habits? I'm going to suggest that you don't write down stuff like, I want to win the lottery, or I want to look like 25 if you're 45. Instead, you could maybe say, I want better financial security, or I want to feel good in my body. And then really deeply consider how you are a participant in getting where you want and need to be. There will be things that there are little you can do about. You may be in a situation that has you stuck for now. You may be working through some challenges that mean you can't make the changes you want to right now. And if that's true, acknowledge what's yours and what belongs to our toxic culture, and allow yourself the space to breathe and feel, and then make a plan in for some small way to nourish that want that's within you. It could be that you hate aging, as you can't do the things you did when you were 25. True, but in many ways, you can do them in a new way. You might not be up for an all-night rave, but you could rave with friends in the day at a sober event. You could change some of the ways you don't take care of your physical health, and then you'll start to feel and look better. You could start to really look to see where you're holding yourself back and ask why and who for, and who might be getting the benefit of that. This piece of work is really worth doing regularly. I do it every 3 months or so, and I use it as an opportunity to review my goals, to look at where I am in my life, look at some of the repeated patterns that I might be partaking in, which aren't helpful to me, and then others that are. And then I use that piece of work to help me come back to balance. It can be a bit of a reset. So in the interest of transparency, I'm going to share with you mine. I want to wake up each day in the morning feeling rested, calm, curious about the day ahead, versus feeling as if I've been shocked by a defibrillator and sent screaming back into the world. I want to have time to breathe between moments, to savour and taste my food. I want to have the energy to truly listen to conversations. I want the world to stop feeling so rushed. I want to have space internally to listen with my heart, and not feel as if I'm being brought to a juddering halt by a physical crisis my body creates to get my attention. I want to go to bed and fall asleep without that internal list in my mind that I recite to myself as I drop off, in a vain attempt to not forget to remember to check the list on my phone that is full of the things I need to not forget to remember to do. I want to have time to be an active participant in my life all of the time, not when by just some miracle a space appears in my diary. I want to be able to choose not to be an active participant in a worldview that fills me with disgust and fear for those who are just starting to make their way. I want to have time to make bread, knit a jumper, grow tomatoes, take a swim every damn day. I think the part of the reason I have this long-held fantasy about bread making, and to be clear, it's sourdough bread, not the quick do it in half an hour type bread, delicious as that can be. Sourdough takes time and requires preparation and thought and a little bit of daily attention. So in many ways, the idea of having my own sourdough starter is a motif for the life I crave. I want living to be the thing that I fill my day with. I want every choice I make to be one that gives me kindness, a gentle touch, respect, love, time, tenderness, that boots me up the arse if I'm not taking care of myself, and reminds me to rest just because, to move just because, to dance because why not? I want the people around me to know that I'm 100% there with them when I'm with them, not that my head's off on a list or worried about how I'm going to manage my energy after I've given them my time, my ear, my heart. I want all the parts of me that for many years was abused by the people who should have known better but didn't, to have my full attention, my kind and gentle attention. I want each day to have time for a wander to my little art studio, which sits in my garden as a symbol of all that is wrong in the capitalist society we live in. You see, I could afford to build it, but I can't afford to work in it. I want to remember why I'm here. So take some time to do this practice for yourself. I want. And then work out why you're not doing what you want. What's getting in the way? And who's the beast that you're feeding? I look forward to spending time with you in season 4 of From the Heart. Slow conversations that allow us time to think and feel. And in line with my commitment to slowing things down, as an act of revolution in a world that is far too busy, we will be releasing episodes every 3 weeks with some teasers of future episodes and past episodes in between. We have an incredible list of guests kicking off this season with Ali Miller, author of The Last Days, a memoir. I'm really looking forward to sharing lots of rich, diverse, deep, meaningful conversations with you all. Please do leave a comment. Please leave a review. Do share the podcast with your friends. The more you do, the more we reach, the more people we can reach. I'm really grateful for every comment and review we receive. Please stay present in your life. This is the very least you deserve. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day.